Hey, before I get started, we're, as you heard, we're in a series we're calling Life Hacks. We're actually turning to the book of James to learn some just life skills, because James was, if you're not familiar with it, weren't here last week, I kind of gave you the story behind the book. James is the pastor of the first church in Jerusalem, the very first church that there was. And he wrote a letter to his congregation, those that were there and those that had been scattered around the world. And it's just five chapters, but in these five really powerful chapters, he gives a lot of life skills. And so this is the premise behind this series that we're doing. Before I get started with it, though, I always say a little prayer. I keep this in my Bible before I speak, because we're going to find out. By the way, today's message, this life hack today, is your words matter. Say that with me. Your words matter. All right, I'm going to speak for about 40 minutes about your words matter. So I'm going to share 9,772 words, but those are the three I want you to remember. That was a joke, by the way. So here's, I pray this because it's from the Word of God, and I pray this before I speak, just to the Lord, and I carry my Bible. I say, Father, I pray that you would open to me a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time, that my speech will always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that I may know how to answer each one in Jesus' name. Probably the most important part of that prayer is redeeming the time. So that means I pay attention to how much time I got. So words. Think about it. Words. What do words play in our lives? Really, you could say that our life is really built around words. Built around it. Think about it. You know the expression, a man's no better than his word. What does that mean? Well, I think it means that when we say something, we better do it. We better act out, better do what our words say. Ever hear someone say something like, so-and-so does more than just talk the talk, they what? Walk the walk. Sure, we know that expression because it's important for our lives and our words to go together. In other words, when someone says that they do more than just talk the talk, they walk the walk, what it means is their words and their lives agree. Their words and their lives agree. Words are important. Whether they're written down or whether they're spoken, they shape our lives. You probably heard that our nation is built on laws. Sure, our nation is built on laws. Well, at the core of laws are what? Words. Contracts are established by a mutual agreement, and agreements are recorded. And you guessed it, how are they recorded? By words. When you get married, the county issues you a marriage license. But marriage licenses aren't what builds a marriage. Marriages are built on words. If you marry someone, you don't just, you know, when it comes to making the marriage, you don't wave it into existence. You know, I wave at you, you wave at me. Well, we're married. Marriages don't start with a handshake. They're not established on a, you know, special marriage handshake, you know. Okay, now we're it, you know. No, how are they built? They're built on words. Words that you share with one another, and then words of blessing that are spoken over you. They're established by words. Did you know that everything God created, he created with words? You don't have to go much farther than the book of Genesis chapter 1. And you see that things happened when God did what? When God said. In verse 3, he said, and light began. Verse 6, he said, the heavens were created. Verse 9, he said, the seas came to existence. Verse 11, vegetation came because he said. Verse 14, he said, and the sun and the moon were created. In verse 20, he said, and fish became were created. Verse 24, animals were created because he said. And finally, in verse 26, aren't you glad? He said, let us make man. He said, he spoke the words and spoke words that caused the world to come into existence. That's why the writer of Hebrews chapter 11 says this: by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Think about that for just a second. The things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I wonder if that means that words that we can't see help create what we can see. What if words are the building blocks of life? When writing about life's challenges, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith that the psalmist had when he said, 'I believed God, so I spoke.'" There's something powerful about the life of faith and our words. What are we saying? Is it any wonder that in this letter that James wrote to his congregation that were both present in his church and those who were scattered around the world, he made sure to emphasize the power and the importance of words? If it was true then it's just as true today. So in this, our second week of our series, Life Hacks, we're looking at these things that will help us how to walk life out. Last week, life hack number one was you can take God at his word. Simple, it seems easy, but I tell you what, there's a lot of people who are trying to live life, they don't believe God's word. Step one to a successful life, a simple life, just based on some very simple yet true principles is, number one, I got to trust God. Got to trust that his word, if it says it, it is true. This week, as I said, this week our life hack is your words matter. So what is a life hack if you're unfamiliar with that definition? Here's a couple definitions for you. It refers to any trick, shortcut, or skill or novelty method that increases productivity and efficiency in all walks of life. Another definition says this: by tweaking little things, you can make life much easier. So as we did last week, would you stand with me, please? And let's read out loud and read together from James chapter 3. We're going to talk about words. The first 10 verses of James chapter 3. They're up here on the screen. Would you read them with me? Here we go. "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go everywhere we want it by a small bit in its mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together in your word. As we speak today, I pray that we speak as of the oracles of God. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light to our path. Help us to understand, process the things you're trying to teach us today about the power of words. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So your words matter. So we're going to go ahead and from those 10 verses, we'll break it down kind of verse by verse and talk about what is it that God was speaking through James that he spoke to that his church people 2,000 years ago that he's still really speaking to us today. Let's read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Dear brothers, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make mistakes, for if we control our tongue, or could control our tongues, we would be perfect. That word perfect just means mature. If we could control our tongues, we would be mature. One of the signs of maturity is understanding, I just can't say whatever comes to my head. We have to control our tongues. If you could control ourselves in every other way, if we do. So he sets the stage with a warning, first of all, to those of us who teach the word. The word teacher literally means, translated as in many translations, the word master. In other words, it's someone who doesn't just teach a great theory, but someone who has mastered the subject, a master. In other words, you're probably familiar with the term a master carpenter or a master plumber or a master mechanic. Those are the people who have not, they're not just construction guys, they're not just plumbers, they're not just mechanics. They are people who have learned their trade well enough to achieve a standard to work by. In other words, a standard in which they now have the ability to teach others to rise up to the standard. That's why he says, listen, don't just preach the word because you think you should. Preach it because you're going to have to live by a higher standard to draw people up. That's why people like myself, we have to be careful with what we say, because we're setting the standard for those that we teach. I like how he sets the stage by addressing out the importance of his role, not just to share the truth, but to live by it, by saying, we all make mistakes. I like that. I like that a lot. He's acknowledging that we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We're growing and developing in this subject. And I really believe that he's talking to, in this particular passage, three groups. First himself, he and really others that are in leadership by, again, as I said, setting the stage by example. Then I believe he's speaking, the second group is to the church body at large. As a pastor, he's able to help the whole body of believers really line up with the word and help them to set the course for that local body. So it makes sense that if a local body gets off track, then the person responsible would be the person in charge. It would be the pastor. They would be held responsible. And then the third group would be individually. So in other words, what he's saying is there's a responsibility on the teacher, there's a responsibility on the whole group, but then each one of us have a responsibility to learn how to control our tongue, how to control the words that we say. And that way, he says, we become mature. And it all starts with the mouth. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. It says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want it by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. So look at that for just a second. Take a large horse and move it with a small bit. We move a large ship with a small rudder. And really what he's saying is what we say with our mouths can do a whole lot with our lives. Let me break it down this way. You've got a rider, and a bit controls the horse. You've got a pilot, and a rudder controls the ship. Now, how does that relate to you and I? Well, here's what I think he's teaching us. He's teaching that our beliefs connected to our tongue develop our whole life. So what do we believe? Because we're going to find out that what we believe is going to come out of our mouths, and what comes out of our mouths is going to create our life. Remember, the writer of Hebrews said the worlds were framed by God's word. I wonder if it's true that our worlds, because we're made in his image, in his likeness, that our worlds are framed by our words. I can tell you this. I know they are. I know they are. Think about yourself. Think about your friends. Their lives don't look any different than their words. All you got to know about what a person believes is listen to what they say. So if we can't control our tongues, we'll never be able to change our lives. In other words, you can't talk north and expect to travel south. You can't expect a positive outcome in your life by speaking negative words. You can't speak negative and expect positive. Doesn't make sense. So listen, a rudder underneath the ship, he says, is greater than the strong winds blowing on the ship. Storms here represent our emotions, and I wonder how many of us still find it hard to control our tongues in the midst of an emotional flare-up. Anybody get emotional every so often? Or anybody ever said anything they wish they hadn't said? Don't raise your hand. So how do you control your emotions? Well, you control your emotions by your tongue. Think about it. When you've gotten yourself in a mess, and we all have, more than likely it's not because you just thought something. Right? It's because what? You said something. That's why I usually include this advice when I do marriage ceremonies. I always pause and I say to the couple, I said, just because something shows up here, it doesn't have to come out here. If you want to get a good, you want to have a good marriage, just because there's something that happened here, it might be good just to kind of zip the lip. And all the men said, amen. So the storms represent our emotions. What's the horse represent? The horse represents our personal lives and how we can really turn our personal lives around by our own words. I like what the psalmist said this. He said, I said to myself, I watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when ungodly are around me. And now he's not just talking about ungodly people. He's talking about ungodly choices, ungodly pathways, ungodly decisions. How do I keep myself out of that? I watch what I say. Watch what I say. Your words matter. The ship, on the other hand, represents the storms or circumstances that come into our lives when we face a storm. How do we do it? How do we face storms in life? We face them with our words. You can turn your circumstances around with your words, but circumstances take longer to turn around than it takes to turn around your life, because you're dealing with something from the outside. You can turn a horse around on a dime, but it takes time to turn a big ship around. So you may be facing something, a big circumstance, a big storm might be attacking you even now. So it doesn't mean that just because you're now speaking different, as we sang today, speaking to the mountain, it might take a little time to move that mountain. Y'all with me? But it doesn't mean it's not moving. Just because you don't see something changing, it still doesn't mean it's not changing. Okay, verse 5. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. In other words, something small can have big consequences, just like a tiny spark can create a huge fire. This shows the great contrast between the small things that control big things. A bridle controls a horse, a rudder controls a ship, kindling controls a fire. So how many of you have found out that a tongue really does have the power to start a big fire? Don't raise your hand, because the person who's the burn victim in your life might be sitting next to you. Yeah, your tongue. Churches can split because of words. Families and marriages can be split because of words. A child's self-esteem can be split by a parent's words. Your words matter. Businesses can be split because of words. Any of you who were around here during the early 1980s will remember that our economy had really gone into the tank. And here in Michigan in particular, auto, the business was down, gas prices were up. People were leaving Michigan by the droves. And I was in the construction business at the time, and construction sales, and business was terrible. I had two partners, and we were in our office in Grand Rapids, and we were all frustrated. We're just frustrated that when we got together a number of years earlier, we were making good money together, life was good, and then it just dried up, and it was hard. You work harder, but you produce less. And so we're frustrated with each other. We're frustrated with life. We're frustrated with the business. And then we sort of got frustrated with each other. And words were exchanged. And some words were exchanged that I heard that offended me. And when it offended me, then I, of course, was responded by other words. And it wasn't nasty, just hurtful. And I said, well, you know what, fellas, I'm going to go ahead and get out of the business. I'm going to go do something different. And we ended up dissolving. It was the worst decision I ever made. It cost me a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of heartache, just a lot of problems. Why? Because I spoke words because I was in an emotional storm. Man, if I could save you from doing that same thing, that's why I want to talk to you about this subject today, because words matter. I look back at that scene and I think, what if I just kept my mouth shut? Well, life would have been better. Life would have been better. Words matter. I don't know about you, but almost every relational breakdown that I've ever had has been caused by the tongue. It's been caused by words. How about you? So that's the negative side. Turn to somebody and say, I think he's going to go positive now. In a minute, okay? I got to say a few more bad things, and I'm going to turn it around. You're going to be, trust me, you're going to be glad you came. So here's what the writer of Ecclesiastes said it this way. He says, don't let your mouth make you sin. Don't make your mouth make you sin. Look at verse 6. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. You can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. See, there is a battle over your tongue, because whoever controls your tongue controls your life. And the battle isn't just emotional, it's spiritual. Let's know what the writer of Proverbs said. He said, ungodly men digs up evil, and it's on his lips like a burning fire. Where's the evil? On his lips. Look at verses 7 and 8. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. So what's he trying to say? Even the sinner has the power to subdue nature, but there's one member that can't be controlled in life, and that is the tongue. No one can tame the tongue. You can bring it under control, but you got to keep your eye on it. How many times have you heard the stories about this, like lions or bears that are trained, but you hear the story of when they turned on the trainer. Think, how'd that happen? Well, because they're wild. It shouldn't shock you. They're made to do that. It's what they do. Well, sometimes we realize that unless we not just tame it, but control it and keep our eyes on it, this issue of controlling your tongue is something that we have to be diligent with. Somebody say amen to that. So, here's a little secret. Apart from God, you'll never be able to control your tongue. That's why it's important to surrender your words to God. Here's one of my favorite verses. After I got saved, I was a pretty radical sinner. I don't know about you. Maybe you were a good person growing up and weren't sure you needed Jesus. I needed Jesus, all right? I'm just telling you. I lived a sinner's life, and I lived it hard. And so when I got saved, I got radically saved. And I was, like I said earlier, I was kind of in the construction business where cursing was just a way of life. That's how you talked. I'm not saying it's right, but it's how I talked until I got saved. And then I saw this verse. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Believe it or not, it's the very first verse I memorized. I knew this verse before I knew John 3:16. Here's the verse. You ready? This is the New Living Translation. It says, don't use foul or abusive language. Oops. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. See, I memorized this verse in the King James Version, because that's back then. King James, when I was got saved, King James was alive. No, I'm kidding. He's not there. So here's the King James Version. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, except that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. That verse. That was in the King. That's the King James Version. I had that on an index card in my pocket. So every time I cursed, I'd pull it out and I'd read that verse. Did I curse more than once after I put that index card on in my pocket? No, actually, I wore the card out. Oh, sorry. Was that too real? I wore it out, man. I was like, what the heck? But I remember the day that I used the Lord's name in vain. The last time. I know exactly what time of day it was, and I know exactly where I was standing. I pulled that card out for the last time. That's it. Why? Your words matter. Your words matter. So with that in mind, there's power in our words. Power in our words. Now listen to this. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, the fruit of your life is from your words of your life. And your words can be either death or life. Death words, life words. You'll eat the fruit no matter what. I think the most powerful part of this particular verse is that when he says life and death are in the power of the tongue, that word power in the Hebrew is the word, is best translated, really, the words hands. So often we think, well, my life, you know, it's just in God's hands. But what if God just said to us, hey guys, let me tell you how important your words are. Because there are things that I can do, but there are things I've empowered you to do. I've made you in my image, in my likeness. I created the worlds through my words. I've given you the power through your words to help mold and shape your word. That's why death and life are in the power of the tongue. They're in the hands of the tongue. They're in the hands of your words. So here's the good news. This is where it gets fun. Because on the same token, if you're feeling condemned by this message, then please don't, because that's not the heart behind it. The heart is behind it is to say, oh, wait a minute. I can speak lousy words, death words, or I can speak life words. That's why the Lord said, I've set before you death and life. What did he say then? Choose. Then let's just choose life words. Let's just choose life. Let's be people who just speak positive things, that speak the word, that we speak truth. We speak life to our situations. How many know it's easy to speak negative words? It's easy to speak death words. You're trained by the world to speak death words. But let's be different. That's why he wrote this letter to his disciples, his followers, his church people all over the world. They say, hey guys, we're going to live different. Life hack number two, your words matter. So choose to use words of life rather than choose to use words of death. See, we live in a society today, it's gotten crazy. People say things and you think, holy cow, how do you even get away saying that? Well, I'll tell you why they say it, because their hearts, it is dead to God. When your heart's alive to God, man, you start talking different. Just like I was walking through the parking lot and cursed the Lord's name for the very last time, I realized I can never talk like that again. I can't do that. Life and death are in the hands of the tongue. So here's where I've been wanting to get to. I got just a few minutes to go. There is a connection between your heart and your mouth. That's why, like I said, that's why some people, and it's more prevalent today than I can ever remember. People will say hurtful things about others and not think twice about it. The reason they can say it about someone else is they're not born again. But when you have a born again experience, you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about how God will take a heart of stone out of you and replace it with a heart of flesh, or a heart that's moldable. You begin to look at life different. You begin to process things different, and you begin to speak differently. So here's the connection, this heart and mouth connection. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 12. Here's what he said. He said, "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." Let me just pause right there. "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." So if we want to have good fruit, if we want to have a life that we picture, a life of success and joy and peace and all the things that we would want to associate with life, it's not much different for any one of us. We might live at a different address, whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever that life is that you have pictured, that life, we have to backtrack from the fruit of that life to the words spoken about that life to the heart where those words come from. That's why the Bible talks about the Word of God, how it can then renew our minds, renew how we view life, renew the things that we say, because there's this heart and mouth connection. Let me go on with what Jesus said. He said, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart." Then he gives this warning: "You must give an account on judgment day for every idle word that you speak. Your words you say, the words you say, will either acquit you or they'll condemn you." Meaning, the fruit of your life is a result of the words you speak. That will acquit you or condemn you. In other words, if you find yourself, this life you're in right now, let's say your life now, if it's not where you want to be, then let's not spend a lot of time figuring out the words that you said that got you here. Let's just change your words now. Let's start speaking a different life. Let's start declaring some things that are different about you. Come on, somebody. Is this getting in? This is a life hack that I don't know what else to say. This is like so important for all of us that we get this. Verse 9. "Sometimes it," our tongues, "praises the Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God." Now listen, what does that mean? It means we can't come here and worship God and tomorrow go to work and curse our boss or our coworkers. We can't praise the Lord on Sunday and curse our coworkers on Monday. This is good preaching. I'll tell you what, I'm thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Give me more. Bring it, preacher. We can't come here and make great faith confessions and then talk doubt, unbelief all week long and expect our lives to change. It's just not going to happen. You got to stick to what you believe. What do I believe? Well, what do you believe? And if you say, "I got to change my words," then you got to change what you believe. And you change what you believe by getting the word inside of you. You go, "You know what? I'm going to believe God's word. I'm going to take God at his word." Oh, life hack number one. Almost like it's a series. It's almost like someone gave thought to this. Thank you, Lord. And then he wraps up. Verse 10. We're done. We'll wrap up. Verse 10. "And so blessings and cursings come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right." And the answer is, of course it's not right. Reminds me of the writer of Proverbs when they said this: "You're snared by your words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth." The word taken means to be captured. So you're snared and captured by your words. So how do we protect ourselves from being snared or captured? Well, we don't. Because words are going to snare and capture us. Words are going to snare and capture us. We can't avoid it. We're going to walk into it. Why is it? Because we speak every day. Words frame our lives. So help me. Am I confusing you? I hope not. So your words are going to snare you and they're captured. In other words, you're not going to get beyond your words. You're not going to, I want to move, but I can't move. Why? Because you're snared. You're captured. Why? How? Your words. You got to move your life. You got to move your words. You got to change what you say. Here's the thing. I'm captured by words. They can either be negative or they can be positive. They can either be negative, contrary to God's word, or they can be positive and aligned with God's word and his promises. The degree of success in our life will come when we line our words up with God's word. David said it this way in Psalm 19. He said, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. See the connection? Words of my mouth, meditation of my heart. Words of my mouth, meditation of my heart. May they be pleasing to you, which tells us that they can be unpleasing to God. But if we take God's word and put it in our hearts, it's going to come out of our mouths. Now, you ready for this? One final verse and we're done. John 7:38. You might want to write this one down. This is a good one. Anyone, Jesus says this, anyone. Everybody say anyone. That means all of us. That means this. We all get this. This is for all of us. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. What is he talking about? Real simple. Let's define living waters. When we were in Israel a couple weeks ago, our guide said to them, to a Jew, living water means water that's moving. Moving water. Living water is moving water. It's active. He said, anyone who comes to me, from within him will spring up these rivers of living water. Well, what is the water? If living means active, the water is the word. He said, listen, Jesus said, all you got to do is come to me. Get my word in you. And then this living, active word, this water, this word will come out of you. And what will happen? It will produce life in you. That's the picture that James wanted for his people. That's the picture that God wants for all of us today. That we take God's word, we put it in our hearts, and let it start flowing out of our mouths. You ready for this? Take a deep breath. Let it out. You all ready? Move your head around a little bit. You all ready? We're going to say some things. Say this with me. I'm blessed. Now hold on just there. You might think I'm not blessed right now. You don't know, Jeff, what my life's going through. I am not blessed. I'm just telling you to say it. One more time. I'm blessed. I'm forgiven. I'm favored. The joy of the Lord is my strength. God will satisfy me with long life. My strength is renewed like eagles. I have the mind of Christ. I'm filled with God's wisdom. My needs are met. My cup runs over. I'm free, because who the Son sets free is free indeed.